today on Real Radio.
And you might be sitting here this morning saying, well, I don't know how this applies to my life. Well, if the rapture happens any second, it will really apply to your life. And if the rapture doesn't happen any second, it really does apply to your life because you need to make a decision about these things. Paul is telling us about the future. And the decision you make now makes eternal consequences reality for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Most Terrible Day, begins in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with verses 1 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church to not only prepare them for Christ's return, but to also build their character for living the Christian life while here on earth. The Thessalonians, however, were feeling confused and abandoned. To calm their hearts, Paul had to restore their focus and their faith with this truth, that the rapture has not yet happened and that their present troubles are only temporary. The tribulation is only reserved for those who have denied Christ. Today, Pastor Jack tells us not to allow anyone to deceive us regarding end-time events. We're also not to sit idle while Satan's working overtime. His lies and counterfeit schemes will cause many to perish if we don't intervene with God's love and the gospel of salvation. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So the falling away does mean a departure from the faith. That's true. But it also means a departure of the faith. And some scholars interpret it this way. Don't be deceived. The second coming cannot happen until, first of all, the church, the faith, the faithful ones have departed. They're out of here. And then the son of perdition will be revealed. I think both of those interpretations are exactly correct. I really do. Because both are true and both will happen according to that sequence, according to the scripture. It's very interesting. He says in verse 4, this man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. This is the man coming out of Europe. If you read Daniel, read the book of Daniel, get the tapes on Daniel, or get a good commentary on Daniel and the book of Revelation. And you'll learn all about this guy, book of Zechariah. Zechariah will tell you, by the way, one of the ways that the people who are on the earth at that time will be able to identify this man is that there will be an assassination attempt made against the Antichrist. And he's going to be struck in the head, either by a bullet or by some instrument. And it says that his right eye will go blind and his right arm will be withered. But that will be the effects only after he appears to be dead. This mortal head, the appearance of a mortal head wound, he will fall to the ground and he will appear to be dead. And it says at that point in time that Satan will enter him. And it will be a mock resurrection. And it says the world will marvel at his recovery. But one of the ways to spy him out is that he'll have a withered arm and a blind right eye. Zechariah tells you. Zechariah calls him the idle shepherd. Very interesting. Isn't that kind of like, don't you kind of feel like Inspector Clouseau or, not Clouseau, but Sherlock Holmes maybe. Wow. It's a little tip. Well, we'll be out of here. We'll be in heaven watching this thing. But Jesus warned us about this guy. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, that's in Jerusalem, a temple, which they're getting ready to build. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. So we better understand it. He says, for then there will be great tribulation such as never been nor ever shall be. The great tribulation. The Antichrist, this guy, is going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. Hey, that's what Paul's telling this little church right here. He says he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God. I find it extremely stimulating that the gospels that are fake, that are engulfing the earth today of the New Age movement and others, they all have the same message. You can be a God. We've touched on it the last couple of weeks. You can be a God. This guy's going to say he is God. But if you keep reading through your Bible, the whole world goes after him. They must agree with him. He must be God. And you might be sitting here this morning saying, well, I don't know how this applies to my life. Well, if the rapture happens any second, it will really apply to your life. And if the rapture doesn't happen any second, it really does apply to your life because you need to make a decision about these things. Paul is telling us about the future. And the decision you make now makes eternal consequences reality for you. Right now. And we're going to see how painfully true this is before we end here this morning. He stands in the temple and shows himself, or sits in the temple and shows himself that he's God to the world. And the amazing thing about verse 4 is Jesus, in Matthew 24, when he expounds on this, Jesus and the disciples consider this to be common knowledge about the abomination of desolation. And you and I will not know it, people, if you haven't read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. What is it? Listen, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after they build the temple in Jerusalem, which they've got the blueprints for, and they've got all the tools ready, they're done. The priest robes are ready. They're training 400 priests in Hebrew right now. They've got all the implements. It's all done. They're waiting to build the temple. When that thing's erected and the Antichrist goes in there and does his thing, listen, that will be the desecration of the temple. The abomination of desolation, and it is what? It is when this man stands in the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God. He's going to be the imposter. Will the real Antichrist please stand up? Jesus says, yeah, he's going to stand up in Matthew 24, and he's going to stand right in the holy place. And he's going to declare himself to be God. CNN will be there. Because the world, it says, will begin to worship him. When in the history of this book that you hold in your lap, that of the New Testament alone, 2,000 years ago, when in human history could somebody stand in Jerusalem and proclaim themselves to be God and the whole world would see it? How could we be so closely connected? But through technology, and it's recent technology. How is it that we can have a problem in, what was it, Portland or somewhere yesterday, and 5 western states of America goes down? Power outages from El Paso to San Diego to Vancouver, British Columbia? Technology. You know, it's a blessing when it works. Friday morning, was it Friday? I don't remember. It's Thursday, we come home. Thursday, we come home, and there's no water on at the house. What is this? What is this, some kind of a joke? Well, somebody put the little keystroke, wrong number, wrong address in the computer at the city, and they shut our water off. Well, we praise the Lord it was on Thursday because they had it back on Friday morning. But what if it would have been on Friday? They wouldn't have had it until Monday because of a little technological keystroke problem. Some guy is going to stand in the temple and declare himself to be God. Now, listen, this is a weird thing because Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. He is going to have this man, and Satan's going to be behind the scenes of this man, looking out through the window of his eyes like a pervert, getting all turned on over the worship that is offered to this man, and Satan will be behind this man and inside this man going, oh, goody, oh, what they really are worshiping is me. And he's just dying to show his face because he really wants worship bad. And so there's this incredible man, the Antichrist, speaking and doing all that he does. Daniel even tells you about him. He's a little kind of a stout, plump guy with a big mouth, and he speaks great words. He's a great orator. And he's talking, he's moving, and back behind him, it's like a little Pinocchio thing. Satan's going, yes! Getting his jollies as an imposter. Jesus said in John 5:43, a very tragic verse, Jesus was rejected or being rejected by the people at that point. And Jesus says, you know, I've come in my Father's name and you don't even receive me. But if another one comes in his own name, him you will receive. And that was a reference to the Antichrist. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Come on, you guys, straighten up. It's okay. You're not in the trib. Now look at verse 6. From verses 6 to 9, we see the Holy Spirit at work today. Thank God today. Listen to this. He says, and now, I mean, listen, you guys, you know now, presently, right now, you know what restrains or what's restraining that he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. You know what's holding him back. Isn't that amazing, you guys? According to the Bible, something is holding the Antichrist back. It's not a something. It's a he. Verse 7 says, for the ministry of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, the Holy Spirit, it's a personal pronoun, he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Can everybody put a circle around the way? Out of the way. How many people have you heard arguing against the pre-tribulation view, which means that Jesus is coming before the tribulation period for the church? How many people have you heard say, you can't believe that view because if the Holy Spirit is taken off the earth, people can't be saved, so it can't happen. That's not what the Bible teaches. This word out of the way is the word out of the middle. He will be taken out of the middle. Let me ask you something. Out of the middle of what? What does Jesus walk in the middle of? The church. Good. Revelation. The word means that he'll be taken out of the middle. Is Jesus or is the Holy Spirit ever going to leave the church? No, it's impossible. What happens is this verse can also be rendered to step aside. The Holy Spirit is going to step aside. At what point in time? Well, at some point in time when the Antichrist is revealed. In fact, that's how he is revealed. The Holy Spirit steps aside and the Antichrist is revealed. Where's the church? The church is no longer in need of the work of the Holy Spirit upon the earth like we are now, because we will be deposited into heaven or in the atmosphere into the arms of Christ in the great rapture. Just like it was for Isaac and for Rebekah. Eliezer, a guy who's not named in the Bible, whose name means comforter, by the way, he's not mentioned in the story, but what he does is gives gifts to this Gentile bride. He takes the Gentile bride to the meeting place of the son of Abraham named Isaac, and he is in the field, which is a symbol of the world. And she meets him after been given gifts, by the way, by Eliezer, the Comforter, Holy Spirit. And it is Isaac taking Rebekah, and Eliezer is simply the one who introduces them. The Holy Spirit will introduce us to Jesus Christ in the atmosphere, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18. And from that moment, he will, of course, because he's everywhere, the Holy Spirit is, will step aside on the earth. He'll be on the earth. Many people will be getting saved. If you read the book of Revelation, you know that. But he will step aside regarding his restraining of evil. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit has been given that he will convict the world of sin and of lawlessness and of judgment. There's coming a day when the Holy Spirit will stand aside. And people, if you think it's bad now, it is nothing. The Bible says that the world will go nuts when the Holy Spirit stands aside and evil does its thing. And right now, the Lord miraculously is holding back evil because the Holy Spirit is in the midst of the church, and the Holy Spirit, through his people, the salt of the earth, is holding down the lid. And that's an amazing thing. Quickly, and we need to move quickly on this. He says, verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. That's the Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. I love it, and I bet it's bad. Can you imagine? With the word of his mouth. He's running around, this little Antichrist guy. I'm God, I'm God, I'm God, everybody, I'm God. And Jesus shows up and says, not. And it's just, he's gone. The Lord will consume, destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. All deception, people. All deception. You and I do not know what that means. It's never been seen before. Verse 10, with all deception among those who are perishing or who perish, because, listen, they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they will believe the lie. Why? That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm going to share something with you that is going to absolutely unnerve you and startle you. And I want you guys to honestly, Acts 17:11, don't believe anything that I'm going to tell you from this moment on. I want you to find it out for yourself. I'm going to go against some good friends of mine right now. I'm going to go against some great commentaries. And every one of my buddies who I've talked to them about on this one, and every commentary I've looked at, barring none, has given an explanation. They just glaze right over it. Are you ready for this? Everybody awake? Wake him up. He's next to you now. Get him going. This is not good. It says in verse 11, "For this reason, God will send them," circle them, "strong delusion." God will send them a stupid pill. It's sent from God. Ooh, do we have a bad God? No. Listen carefully, please. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie or the lie. It is the lie, and most scholars, and I agree with them, believe that the lie is that you can, like the Antichrist, be God or be the ruler, at least, of your life. That they all may be condemned, circle they and them. Hopefully it's not you. They will be condemned. Why? Because God's bad? No, because they didn't believe the truth, but they had pleasure in their unrighteousness. Listen to this, and we'll be done here. It says in verse 10, that with all unrighteous deception among those who are who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's all in the past tense, people. It means they had the chance to get saved and they didn't. Here's the punchline. Here's the time to get concerned. Do you right now at 9 o'clock this morning have the chance to get saved? Yes. If you refuse today, this is pure Bible now, this is not Jack. If you refuse to get saved today and the rapture happens, these passages here tell us that you will not be able to believe later. Have you ever had people say, "Well, you know what, Jack, you're such a knucklehead about this stuff. I'll make my decision after the rapture." I've got great friends who are pastoring churches that say, "Listen, there's going to be people who are rejecting the gospel now, but they'll accept the gospel after the rapture." Impossible. How do you know? Right here it says so. "But Jack, I thought zillions of people come to faith in Christ during the tribulation." Yes, they do. But those who have the chance to receive the gospel now will not. How do you know? What's your proof text? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. God will send you strong delusion because you would not believe the truth. "Well, I'll wait to see how it turns out. I'll see if you're telling the truth and see if this Antichrist shows up." God will send you, because of your unbelief and your rebellion, absolute delusion, because you won't believe. Isn't that serious? "Well, I'll wait and see." You will wait and you will be blind. God will blind you because you refused his offer. And people, that is the meaning. When Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, he says to them, "Unless you believe that ego eimi, unless you believe I am," Exodus chapter 3, God, I am, God's name, God's attribute. "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." "Well, I think Jesus is a great prophet. You're going to die in your sins. I think Jesus is a great enlightened one. You will die in your sins." You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, Savior, Son of God, the only way, truth, and the life. And this portion of Scripture says that those people will be sent a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. That right now, if I told you what the lie is, you would say, "I don't believe in that." But the moment after the rapture happens and you miss your opportunity, you will believe in it because you will be given strong delusion. You're not going to come to faith. If you are hearing this message right now by tape, radio, who knows how, sitting in the sanctuary, you will not have, if you're hearing it now, a second chance. If you disagree with that, go ahead and read 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. There's no other explanation. And that is startling. Let's pray. Lord, it is serious, serious questions and commands and issues before us. We can't play. You didn't play on the cross. You didn't get up there and play marbles on that cross beam up there. When you spoke about hell more than anybody on earth, it's because you know all about it and you want no one there. You tell us through your word that we are to be watching and ready, and if we're not, we can be deceived and be put to sleep by a demonic anesthesia. Are we ready to meet you today? None of us are perfect. We understand that. But Lord, is our heart's desire to walk with you and to know you, to be ready? Father, for those here this morning, they don't know. They're not sure. And while we're even praying right now, and I know this message has been, the last couple of weeks have been kind of hot stuff here. It's the scripture. What are you going to do with it? It's truth. You don't have to go through this stuff that's coming on the earth. In fact, why wait? You can be blessed now by receiving Jesus Christ and have him in your life now to get you through what's going on. But don't die today. Don't die. There's no second chance, the Bible says. Now's the time. So don't die today, okay? Can you keep yourself alive? And don't miss the rapture, because you'll be deceived. If you want to have those things no longer a part of your concern, you need to receive Jesus Christ now. And will you do that right now? Will you, by raising your hand this morning, just by raising your hand, you're saying, I'm a sinner, I need him to save me, and I want to be filled with his Holy Spirit. I want to have his life in me, and I want to walk after God. Is that you this morning? Why don't you raise your hand wherever you're at today? People are praying, nobody's looking around. I'll see your hand, and I'll pray for you. But you can put your hand up. And by doing that, God sees your heart. God bless you. God sees your heart. Anyone else? God sees your heart. Your hand goes up, not because of your muscle reaction, but because of your will. You're saying, I want Jesus. God bless you in the back too. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. Man, I don't want to miss this stuff. I'm going to walk after him. Anyone else to join these this morning? My goodness, isn't it amazing? You're voting right now for Jesus or for not. Not for him. You're voting. Yes, no. God bless you too then. Right next to the other one. Praise the Lord. And you. I was waiting for you. God bless you. You're voting for Jesus Christ right now today. Awesome. Christians, help these along in this prayer. The prayer doesn't save you, but what you believe in your heart does as you trust Christ. Those of you with your hands raised, or you raised your hand, brothers and sisters, pray out loud with these and help them along in the kingdom right now. Those of you who raised your hands, pray this prayer out loud right now. God will hear you. Lord Jesus, I receive you today. I ask you to come into my heart and to save me from my sins. Cleanse me. Restore me. Give me your life. Give me your hope. Lord God, today, I dedicate my life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me my sins right now and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Most Terrible Day. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you embrace God's plan for your life and trust him to see you through the tough times. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you want to get hold of a pastor maybe to talk through it and find out, you know, what to do next, why don't you give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Make sure to give us a call. Get in touch with us so we can help you get pointed in the right direction. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.